It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We are going to get an update on several projects and initiatives from the Tuolumne County Office of Emergency Services today, joined on the telephone by Dory Beetz, who is the Assistant Director of OES. Dory, it's great to have you back on Motherlode Views.
Thanks, BJ, for having me.
Well, I know one thing that your office is really involved with right now is the cleanup efforts following the TCU September Lightning Complex fire. So can you get us up to speed on what's happening in that area right now?
Yeah, the governor signed a proclamation of an emergency for the TCU September Lightning Complex that allows our request for assistance through the California Disaster Assistance Act. In our request, Tuolumne County also asked for Phase 1 and Phase 2 assistance. After a wildfire, there is a lot of debris, and so we want to make sure that we safely remove that debris so that folks can get back to home in a safe manner.
And you say, is this kind of a county-led effort, or is it more of a state effort?
Yeah, so we will be managing it from the county perspective. Counties have the option of going with a state-managed debris program, or they can do a county-managed program. We are following the footsteps of other counties such as Mariposa, who were successful in doing a county-managed program after the 2022 Oak Fire. So they have been gracious and given us assistance in walking through, you know, how they did that successfully. So we will be doing the Phase 2 debris removal. Phase 1 is actually completed at no cost to the county or the property owners, and that's actually going to start next week. And that's when the California Department of Toxic Substance Control comes out to remove all of the household hazardous waste. And so they'll do that, and that includes anything that was burned in the fire footprint, including those auto and household batteries, pesticides, paints, aerosol cans, et cetera, all of those toxic items that need to be cleaned up before we do Phase 2.
Yeah, it kind of led into my next question I was going to ask. How do homeowners know who were impacted by the destruction, you know whether it's something that they need to get rid of or if it's something that the county or state is going to help out with?
Yeah, so the Phase 1 will apply to all properties, and so there is no need because of the public health order and because of the governor's local state of emergency. Phase 1 will come in, no cost to the property owners. Phase 2, however, as we manage that, the county will be receiving money to do that. Again, it won't be any cost to the homeowner, except if they did have insurance that covered debris removal, then that will be applied to the cost that the county will have to endure in order to get those properties safe. A property owner has a choice not to join Phase 2, and it can opt in to do its own program. That means it will pay for all cost of contractors and still has to abide to the standards set by the county for cleanup of those properties. We want to make sure everything's cleaned up. We're concerned about potential groundwater contamination later down the road. We just want to make sure whether it's the property owner who has hired a contractor privately or we as a county has hired contractors to go in and do the work, that we're doing it in a safe manner to make sure that the environment is safe before returning.
When you talk about Phase 2, what are the types of things that covers?
Well, Phase 2, after Phase 1 is done, Phase 2, again, is an opt-in program, and either a property owner does it all on their own or they join in, enroll in the government-managed funded program, which means they have to sign a right of entry. Really what they go do is look at a site assessment. They do all of the asbestos assessment and removal, and then they remove all of the debris. So when we're talking about debris, we're talking about any of the structures, whether it was a residence or an eligible structure of 120 square feet or larger. It could be a garage. It could have been a pump house. The crews will go in and clear all ash and debris and any contaminated soil. And then they will also test that soil to make sure there aren't any contaminants like lead or mercury. And they make sure that meets all of the background screening levels. They also might come in and do hazard tree removal, and we want to make sure that those are removed as well so that they don't pose a threat later down the road.
All this debris that's removed, where is it taken then?
Well, that is interesting. Only certain places will take it. There is not a transfer station or a facility in Tuolumne County that will take fire debris. The closest is off of J-59, so we work with them. There are certain requirements and contractors. Again, whether it's privately contracted or it's contracted through the county program, they have to abide by all the state laws for transporting fire debris and also disposing of it at a facility that is authorized to take it.
Do you get any other kind of common questions from people about this topic?
You know, we get lots of phone calls from when can I move back, how come I cannot, get a permit to hook back up to power. Again, we need to make sure that the properties are safe when there is a wildfire, especially when homes are damaged. There are a lot of materials within that home that become toxic. This is why we're asking folks, even if they've gone back to their property, to make sure they're wearing the right PPE to sift through, because we want to make sure that their health is protected while they are trying to gather some of those belongings that might have survived the fire. And so there are a lot of questions about, how soon is that going to happen? How quickly can we move back? Where do we go now? Unfortunately, this fire left a lot of families homeless because they didn't have an alternative place. And I know there's a lot of great organizations that are trying to work to support some of those families that are desperately in need until we can get through phase one and phase two. And the property is clean and clear to be able to build again.
Looking at neighboring counties and those like Mariposa, as you mentioned, who have had issues like fire cleanup in the past, do you know how long this cleanup process is estimated to take?
Yeah, so Mariposa had 147 parcels. We have 49, and those are qualifying parcels that had a structure, a residence, or a building that met the eligibility and that were destroyed. And so Mariposa for 147 parcels took 8 months. We have a third of those numbers, right? So we're hoping that we can make sure that we're ready for phase two as soon as phase one ends. We're not quite sure how long phase one will take. But we want to make sure that we're in there as soon as possible. Obviously, we're also concerned about the weather, rains, more frequent rains. We want to make sure we're doing things the right way to lessen impacts to the environment as a result of the rain.
Yeah, are there steps being taken to prevent, like, environmental contamination and things like runoff?
Yeah, so we actually also, in our request, Tuolumne County asked Cal OES for what is called a watershed mission task, and that is to bring in those experts who understand watershed. They will be bringing in swaddles and swales to be able to prevent runoff possibly into some of the watershed and the environment. So it sounds like we've been approved for that as well. We will assist in monitoring that, but they will bring those and set those up accordingly based on their experience and their knowledge on watershed protection.
So you have the phase one cleanup and then the phase two cleanup that you talked about. After that, does it go into rebuilding or are there additional steps before you get to that phase?
Yeah, so obviously there will be an inspection of the property to verify that all the work was done. So if a property owner chooses to go through the county-managed and state-funded program at no cost to the property owner, then we make sure that we've met all of those, local and state environmental requirements and that it's safe to go back. And then we can allow permitting to occur for folks to either rebuild or begin living back on the property. For the folks that do it on their own, all of the same requirements will apply. The only difference is the property owner is paying for everything, and they are footing the bill. So,
for people who want to get more information who have been impacted, what is the best way to do so?
Well, you can call our office, 209-533-6395. We try to answer the phone Monday through Friday. Leave a message. We will also return that message. You can email us at oes@co.tuolumne.ca.us. We also are going to have a series of meetings. We had the first local assistance center 2 weekends ago. We will probably have another one specific to debris management in phase two. We will be holding a public meeting Monday, September 29th at 6 p.m. at the Chinese Camp Elementary School. And that is specifically for property owners. It's not for contractors. It's not for, you know, anyone that wants to understand the process. It is truly only for those property owners so that we can walk them through, make sure we have them on their list. If they want to sign up, you know, for our program, make sure we have their information to do so. And so we will have that kind of town hall for those property owners to really explain a little bit more in detail.
I know a couple of weeks ago you were really trying to get in touch with the property owners who were impacted. Do you feel that you've reached most of those property owners at this point?
No, it's a hit and miss. You know, there are some property owners. The majority of the property owners still live, you know, or are in the area. And we've really, you know, slowly been getting, you know, extra calls. We did do a community or a damage survey that is available on our website. If you go to Tuolumne County and look up the incidents or the TCU incident under Tuolumne County OES, there is a damage survey. We ask folks to fill that out. It also includes, you know, how we can get a hold of you via a telephone or an email so that we can send you information as we get through this process. I know for a lot of the property owners, the timing is not ideal. And from the beginning, we've asked for, you know, patience. We've been trying to get assistance. And again, with the governor's proclamation just on Friday, we're able to take those next steps.
We need to take a quick break. We're talking with Dori Beetz, who is the Assistant Tuolumne County Office of Emergency Services Director on this weekend's Motherlode Views. This first segment, we've been talking a lot about the TCU September Lightning Complex fire and the major cleanup effort that is underway and things that community members who are impacted need to know. Also going to get into a wildfire defense grant in Tuolumne County and a big project in Ponderosa Hills. That's coming up. Motherlode Views brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Our second segment in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area. For family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service, call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We're talking with Dori Beetz, who is the Assistant Director of the Tuolumne County Office of Emergency Services on this weekend's Motherlode Views, talking about a number of projects and initiatives that are being overseen by the Office of Emergency Services. During the first segment, we talked a lot about the TCU September Lightning Complex fire and the major cleanup effort that is underway. And Dori Beetz, one thing you mentioned about that was PPE and making sure you have that equipment when you're going into that area, and that's something that seems like it's a very important thing to emphasize.
Yeah, we understand that property owners want to get back into their properties and be able to look and find things maybe that weren't a complete loss as a result of this destructive fire. But we really caution folks, you know, we really want you to avoid the toxic ash and debris because the debris of burned homes includes arsenic, lead, mercury, asbestos, other hazards, household chemicals, et cetera. And we really want to make sure that folks, if you are going back in there, and you're wanting to sift through, wear protective gear, respirator, gloves, long shirts and pants, shoe covering, safety eyewear. And so recovering personal property while keeping the ash footprint as is really, really important as well, because when we come in to do phase one and phase two, it's really important to be able to keep that, there so that we can remove the things accordingly. And we just want folks to be safe. We really do. There is an organization that will be available, and many of the folks that attended our recent LAC, the Southern Baptists, as soon as phase one is complete and they get the go-ahead, those property owners that signed up with that organization will help them go in and pick through things or sift through things and gather things that are important before we get to phase two. So we do have that available for folks.
Very good. Another thing to get into is Ponderosa Hills. I know there's a home hardening and fire prevention effort in that community. You've touched on that a little bit in the past, but for anybody who's unfamiliar, get us up to speed on what's taking place in Ponderosa Hills.
Yeah, we're really excited about this project. You know, we believe a lot in mitigation and obviously reducing risk. And Tuolumne County is the recipient of a fourth pilot project in the state. And this particular pilot project is funded by both FEMA and Cal OES because they have found a lot of data in wildfires over the years that if you can reduce risk by doing defensible space and also hardening your home, a lot of those homes tend to survive these wildfires that are sweeping through communities throughout California. And so we are the fourth pilot project. We have a great home hardening project. The Ponderosa Miramonte kind of area was chosen. There's about 415 homes that are eligible within that project area. We've gotten through the hurdles of some of the initial phase one environmentals with FEMA. We now have a project manager, Lindsay Bartow, who is on staff working with those individuals in Ponderosa who want to sign up and be a part of the project. We're going to start assessments pretty soon, and that is to really go look at the parcels of the properties, homeowners who have signed in and given us a right of entry approval to make an assessment so that we can then get to the phase after that, which is hiring contractors to actually do the work. So we're pretty excited about it, and it is something that we think will set a really good example for other communities within Tuolumne County.
Yeah, so Tuolumne County is the fourth of one of only four so far to receive this funding?
Yes, correct. And both El Dorado County and Tuolumne kind of received the funding at the same time, but we are the fourth pilot project. And it's pretty exciting because it will allow homeowners to do much needed home hardening on their homes, and that those funding will allow for those costs to be covered. So it's great for our communities. And we have a whole webpage dedicated to it under Tuolumne County, under the California Wildfire Mitigation. And we have a lot of information as well as the right of entry form that we're asking folks to sign, as well as an application that they will have to fill out in order to be accepted into the program. Again, if there's any questions, we ask folks to call our office at 209-533-6395.
When you talk about home hardening, what are the types of things that that could all include?
Well, so when we look at structurally, we look at the age of the home, making sure you have non-combustible materials. Newer homes have that, but there's a lot of older homes that might need a roof, siding, dual-pane windows, vents, and it's really interesting. The vents now are made with very small screens, and there has been data proven that embers are the cause of ignition in most wildfires in a group of homes, because the tiny embers from a neighboring wildfire that can travel quite a distance then get into the vents up in the eaves of your roof, and then they sit in your attic, and then that's what catches on fire. So vents are a simple way in a less costlier way to improve or harden your home than, let's say, a brand new roof. But those are the types of items within your home that you can harden and that we would be looking at hardening within this project.
Good things to keep in mind. We need to take one more break. We're talking with Dory Beetz on this weekend's Motherlode Views. A programming note, next week on Motherlode Views, we're planning to begin our series that focuses on the individual Tuolumne County supervisors and issues that are pertinent to their district and the county as a whole. It's a chance to hear directly from the five supervisors over five consecutive weeks. We're going to kick that off next week on Motherlode Views. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Our final segment is coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
And we welcome you back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, talking with Dory Beetz, who is the Assistant Director of the Tuolumne County Office of Emergency Services, talking about issues such as the cleanup following the TCU September Lightning Complex fire, a home hardening effort in Ponderosa Hills, and a community wildfire defense grant. And Dory Beetz, that's the next thing I want to ask you about. What can you tell us about this grant and what it means to Tuolumne County?
Yeah, this is another great grant that Tuolumne County received. It's a USDA funded, and Tuolumne County received, an award of $10 million to help facilitate defensible space work. This work would be completed on about 1,290 home site parcels, and also would include vegetation management of about 22.67 miles of county-maintained roads. We are really excited about this grant because it is testament to the work that we are doing in Tuolumne County for reducing risk, and defensible space is one of those areas that we talk about that really will help homeowners reduce the risk for wildfire, and it is something that we've been working on in Tuolumne County. And this particular grant program is focused on three particular areas, and part of the reason why I think the grant was chosen is, overall this community wildfire defense grant program, which is a USDA Forest Service, really helps communities reduce the risk and implement kind of a national cohesive wildfire management strategy. And they chose us because we were located in a high and very high wildfire hazard potential, and also that, because we have been impacted by disasters within the previous 10 years. And so we definitely wanted to make sure this project was mirroring the work that we've been doing on the CERL project, so the other partnership that we have, and the MSA project works that we have with the U.S. Forest Service. So the three communities that were chosen are Cedar Ridge, Miwok Village, and the Yankee Hill side of Columbia. So each of those three communities have been chosen to implement this particular grant. And it's not limited to anyone. We want folks to apply so that we can do an assessment. We'd like to get cohorts of, neighborhoods that border up to that wildland urban interface and that national forest side, and we want to make sure that we are working to give an opportunity for folks that need it most, whether your income, eligible, or you have vulnerabilities, or you have access and functional needs, or maybe, you're a single elderly person that just can't afford to do defensible space. There isn't priorities on any of those, but we really want to make sure those are the individuals who are getting some of this grant funding to do this much-needed defensible space work.
Is there a certain amount of time where this work has to be done by?
We have the grant for 5 years total, so we still have 3 or so, almost 4 years left. And so we do have a lot of opportunity to make sure that we're utilizing the funds and we're getting as many of those home sites as possible. We did enter into an agreement with the Sheriff's Office jail crew for the roadside brushing. We're really excited about that, to be able to do that work in-house. They have proven to be phenomenal at doing some other roadside brushing work, and it just makes sense that we're utilizing them for this as well. So they hopefully will be starting on that as well, a portion of that road project, to make sure that we meet the objectives of the grant.
So looking at this grant and also the Ponderosa Hills work that you talked about earlier in Monte Vista, are you optimistic that this work that's being done in the county right now is going to make a pretty good dent when it comes to making the area more fire resilient?
I think so. I think, many of us who work in reducing risk and wildfire and fuels management, we're very proud of the work that Tuolumne County has been doing as a whole. Not only we as Tuolumne County, county government, but our partners. We sit in a pretty high fire risk community. We are the number one distressed county in the state for fire insurance, and we've done a phenomenal job at putting out those large fires on some of our bigger, timbered areas within Tuolumne County. And so the more we can do, and, people don't really understand sometimes that, you have to invest in this mitigation, right? This is mitigation work. We have to invest this mitigation, which decreases the cost of response and ultimately decreases the cost in recovery. The more work we can do in defensible space and home hardening and reducing the risk, the better off our communities are going to be in the future.
Well, those are three pretty major initiatives undertaken right now by Tuolumne County OES. Anything else that you're working on or is keeping you busy right now?
Well, all of that. I will say, we're closing out National Preparedness Month, and I can't, stress everyone in our community always to sign up for emergency alerts, to have a plan, have a go bag, talk it over with your household, your neighborhood, become invested. It is really important. We cannot do it all alone. We need everyone to be individually responsible and be a part of the bigger preparedness in our community. Also support those mitigation projects, support our first responders, support the efforts that we are all working to lessen potential impacts. Mother Nature continues to throw more and more disasters at us, and we just need to be ready.
With those go bags that you put together, what are types of things that you encourage people to put in those and maybe some things that are sometimes forgotten?
Well, I think the one thing that folks forget is to revisit the go bag, because seasons change, right? Summer's different than what you might need in the winter. So extra sets of clothes, making sure you have shoes in there, or little things you don't think about, things that you can just kind of store. You might have an extra of, hairbrush and hair ties, or maybe it's a pair of glasses. Maybe it's whatever you need that you might need for a couple of days. It's pretty entirely up to you. Folks suggest money in there, depending on the situation. They also suggest, reading, because you never know where you're going to be, maybe a flashlight, all of those things that you might think you might need in the event of an emergency and you're displaced from your home for a couple of days. So you want to make it not too big because you got to carry it, but you want to make sure that you have enough good supplies for a couple of days for you.
Yeah, good point to reassess that as the year goes on. I mean, right now we're in that transition period where fire risk is still high, but we had rain this week. We know the rain could be coming, floods, snow, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to be into winter before we know it.
Well, Dori Beetz, I appreciate your time today. Any closing comments you'd like to make?
No, I just really appreciate, BJ, the opportunity. We are embarking, this will be the first time that Tuolumne County is leading its own, county-managed program for debris. We're excited about it. It's a heavy lift, absolutely, but we have a lot of great employees and a great administration, and the board is supporting us in that, and as long as we can get the state to help fund it, then we're going to be okay. We're going to help, Chinese Camp recover, and that's what's really important here. We want to make sure our communities that suffer from disasters recover. So we're going to do all we can to help with that.
And you mentioned it very early in the show, but one more quick plug for that meeting coming up Monday for the property owners impacted.
Yes, that would be great. It'll be Monday, September 29th at 6 p.m. at the Chinese Camp Elementary School. Again, this is for the property owners only. We will have a later when we get to rebuilding contractors or we get to the phase two debris removal. But this is really for the property owners and those that are most impacted by the particular fire. And we want to be able to answer questions for them. So 6 p.m. Monday, September 29th at Chinese Camp Elementary School.
Sounds good. Dori, we appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much, BJ, for having me.
Again, that was Dori Beetz, Assistant Office of Emergency Services Director on this weekend's Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen. I was your host. We'll see you back next week for more Motherload Views.
You've been listening to Motherload Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherload. Motherload Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.